in a church years ago when I was a little boy that wasn't really very kid-friendly. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I wasn't very church-friendly. You understand what I'm saying about that, too? I'll leave that alone or I won't get through my message today. Beginning to read 1 Corinthians 15, 29 through 33. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I die every day. I mean that. Brothers, just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. And I just pray for the next 20 minutes or so that Lord, you just direct my thoughts, that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words you've ordained for this morning. Pray every one of our hearts would be open, and that, Lord, you will sow your word in our hearts, sealing it with your Holy Spirit this morning. And I pray, Lord, that I would only speak the words you've ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We've all strolled through a cemetery and read the inscriptions on the tombstones. The graves have been marked and kept through the years because of what they contain. The bodies of someone's loved one. How different from the tomb of Jesus? It is famous not for what it contains, but for what it does not contain. It is empty. The best news the world has ever received was spoken by the God angel on the first Easter morning when he said concerning Jesus, "He is not here, for he has risen." There has never, ever been a better day than that day in history, nor will there be. The most important, the most powerful, the most wonderful day in all of history is the day that Jesus Christ conquered death and hell and overcame everything and rose from the depths of the earth.
Amen.
That we could have salvation and have hope, not only in this world, but in the one to come. What does the resurrection mean to you and me? Well, first of all, it gives meaning to all of the Christian life. If Christ is not risen, then we will not be raised. And if we will not be raised, all is lost. You see, there were many in Corinth back then that said, "Oh, the resurrection never happened." But you see, the resurrection did happen. You see, this book is a book that is historically accurate. The genealogies that are in it are impeccable. Everything in this book is historically correct. After Jesus rose again from the grave, hundreds of people saw him before he ascended on high and said, "I'll be back." See, he said it long before Arnold Schwarzenegger. Schwarzenegger could only borrow that phrase, because Jesus said it first, "I'll be back." People then, people now say, There was no resurrection, and they're deceived. Because, as I said, the history is there. There are other ancient historical books that have been written, that were written back then, that also proclaim the resurrection. Hundreds of people saw him before he rose, before he ascended on high, returned to the Father, and said he was coming back. It means everything to you and me and every believer that he did rise again, because that means, because he did that, we know that he also will return, like he said. Many people say that the resurrection didn't happen. I have an uncle, as a matter of fact, that lives in Texas, that said, oh, the Bible's just a book full of fables. Well, my uncle is a very, very intelligent man, but he is a fool spiritually. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because, see, the Word of God tells us that it's the fool that says in his heart there is no God. So the biblical terminology for a fool is a person that is godless. And so I'm not putting my uncle down when I say he is a fool spiritually. I am just calling it what it is. I pray he comes to Christ before he leaves this earth, because he's my uncle and I love him. You probably have loved ones that don't believe yet either. Pray for them. God's not done yet. He rose from the grave to save anyone and everyone who would receive him. In this difficult passage, Paul declares without the resurrection, baptism is meaningless. Sacrifices for the cause of Christ are meaningless. And moral restraint is meaningless. If there's no resurrection, then all of that means nothing. We're going to have baptisms today. And baptisms, in the sense that we do it, it's symbolic. We do baptism by immersion. We don't sprinkle. Now, I said that, but I'm not saying if you were merely sprinkled that you were not baptized. I'm not saying that. But there's beautiful symbolism with being baptized by immersion. Okay? When you go into the water, down into the water, walking into it, you are entering into Christ's death. See, baptism has to do with three parts: death, burial, and resurrection. Easter has to do with those same three parts. Resurrection Day has to do with those same three parts: death, burial, and resurrection. And so does communion. Death, burial, and resurrection. Eat, drink, remember, and believe. That's why I use that phrase. Do you believe it? Because this is of utmost importance, because it says in Romans 10 in the Word of God, verses 9 and 10, it tells us that it's with our hearts that we believe, and it is with our mouths that we confess unto salvation. So it starts with belief in our heart, and then following through with the confession. People want to be adamant about denying the resurrection. Even our calendar time has been set around that event. We have BC, years that were BC, correct? And then we have AD, which is the season we're living in. AD 2023. Okay? What does AD stand for? AD stands for Anno Domini. It's Latin for Year of the Lord. Latin for Year of the Lord. That was established by a pope all the way back in AD 525. That's how long we have had BC and AD in years. Since 525 AD. Again, AD, Anno Domini, Year of the Lord. Also, I, since I have been a pastor, have done a lot of funerals. I do quite a few funerals. I ran a business in this town for 16 years. I was raised in this town. I've lived here for 66 years almost. I've been pastoring in this town for 20 years now. I know a lot of people. Guess what? When they don't have a church and they don't have a pastor, I quite often get a call whether I can do another funeral. It's an opportunity to share Christ. For some people, that's the only time they're going to hear the gospel, is when they're burying a loved one. And that is the only hope that I have to hold out to people when there is a death in the family. It's the hope of the resurrection. Why did I bring up about funerals? Well, we're talking about death, burial, and resurrection, right? I don't know if you even know this. I know Pastor Jim does, but I don't know if you know this. But every grave has the person laying in it facing the east. Still to this day, every grave is buried facing the east, so that when the graves open, when the dead in Christ raise, when they rise from the depths of the earth, they will rise up and be facing east to see their Lord and Savior that will appear in the eastern sky for the rapture and take His people to be with Him forever and ever and ever. So you see, guys, we have a lot of hope. Rooted in death, burial, and resurrection, those three parts. We have hope in that because He indeed did rise from the grave. And it doesn't mean it didn't happen because somebody says it didn't. Truth is truth. This means that the resurrection not only has eternal significance, but also practical application to our lives. These practical meanings of the resurrection can be seen in the series of four questions that Paul asked in these verses. Very quickly, I got to go faster, we're running out of time. First major point is, without the resurrection, our baptism is meaningless. Verse 29 is one of the most disputed passages in all of the Bible. Remember, it says, "Now there is no resurrection. If there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead?" Very, very controversial. There are more than 50 different interpretations of that verse. Let me just share a couple with you. Some say that it refers to baptism by proxy. That is, one person can be baptized for another. This is the belief and the practice of the Mormons today. That is not right. Okay? That is not right. I can't get baptized for anybody else. And while we're on that, Baptism in and of itself cannot, will not, never has saved anyone in and of itself. Baptism by itself will not save. Baptism is an act of obedience after you have come to Christ. So then there is no reason to baptize a person that is already dead. I'm stating that because there is a denomination that does that, and it's futile. It's futile. It does absolutely nothing, baptizing a dead body. It will not save them. People that believe that believe in a doctrine that is called baptismal regeneration, and that is a lie. It's a lie out of a pit of hell. Okay? Some of you may know what I'm talking about. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I made that statement? Some say that it refers to being baptized because of someone else. For example, a loved one's death may cause another to repent and follow the Lord in baptism. Well, that can happen. Some people can come to Christ and be saved because of through the sorrow of losing a loved one, and maybe, like I said earlier, heard the gospel at the funeral and responded. I've literally, over the years, if you put them all together, there have been hundreds of people that have prayed the sinner's prayer at funerals I've done. Literally hundreds. I don't have an exact count for you, but I'm not exaggerating. Literally hundreds of people. So we are more tender and more open when we are faced with the reality of death. But we need to go further than that. We got to deal with the death and move on to burial and resurrection in our thoughts. In my mind, the correct meaning of this verse is that baptism symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Romans 6, verses 1 through 5, following along with me, taking notes. If there is no resurrection, then baptism is a meaningless ritual. Romans 6, 1 through 5 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection." Glory, hallelujah. Yes. Those few verses sum it up for us, amen? Yes. And that's God's word. That's not, says Pastor Wayne, this is God's word. And his word is infallible, just as he is. So we see right here in these five verses in Romans again, death, burial, resurrection. Second major point, without the resurrection, our sacrifices are useless. Paul then speaks of the dangers, hardships, and sacrifices he made for the cause of Christ. He speaks of fighting wild beasts, and then he says, "I die daily." This is a strong expression of the danger of death he encountered daily. Paul's argument was this: hardships, dangers, and sacrifices are meaningless if there is no resurrection. Do you agree with that? Being a Christian was risky. In fact, the Christians were the only people in the first century outside of the guard who believed in anything strongly enough to die for it. That is why the gospel swept the world. When people see that someone believes something strongly enough that they're willing to be martyred for it, it gets people's attention. When people are willing to be boiled in oil, such as they were, boiled in oil, burned at the stake, and say, "Father, forgive them," just like Jesus did, "for they know not what they do." When people are willing to have that kind of faith, the kind that in Revelation chapter 12, it says, "And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, they did not love their lives so much to shrink back from death." That kind of commitment. Christ still calls on us to sacrifice for him. Missionaries leave home for foreign countries. Christians in countries like India, Sudan, China, and others are often killed or imprisoned for their faith. Businessmen often suffer when they stand for what is right. It is without apology that we ask people to sacrifice for Christ, but these sacrifices have no meaning if there is no resurrection. It's only because the resurrection really happened that any of that stuff has any meaning. It's only because of that. If there was no resurrection, all of it would be meaningless, because it wouldn't have root in anything real. Right? Third major point. Without the resurrection, our morals are groundless. Paul continues his argument, not only are baptisms and sacrifices meaningless, but so is moral restraint if there is no resurrection. So in other words, people that don't believe in Jesus, that don't believe the resurrection really happened, tend to cast off all restraint. Sin abounds in the life of a person that has no restraint because they're not rooted in Christ. You see, Jesus died for us in our place. And he will receive us no matter where we are at in our life. When we turn to him, admit we're a sinner, and ask him to forgive our sins, he receives us. But he loves us too much to leave us where we're at. He loves us way too much to leave us in our life of sin. See, the life of sin that we have tendencies to live in is far from the best life, the plan that God has for us. Jeremiah 29 makes it abundantly clear that he has plans for our lives. Plans to give us hope and a future, not to harm us. Some people have always lived without restraint. The philosophy of the Epicureans was, "Let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." I think there's a lot of Epicureans in the world today. Isn't that true? Many live by this hedonistic philosophy today. The man who lives without restraint is a fool. As I said earlier, biblical sense, a fool is a person that is godless. And a godless person has tendency to live without any moral restraint. You cannot legislate morals. You can't legislate morals. You can make guns illegal all over the world, but people will still get guns and people will still be shot. Because the problem is a moral morality problem, because people have turned from Christ. And you can't legislate morality. It's why we need a fresh, mighty move of God, not only in this nation, but around the world. Because that is what will make people stop doing those things. A person that can walk into a school and shoot innocent teachers and children that they don't even know without another thought about it, you've got to know that that's the enemy that has taken them over. We need a return to Christ, because he did what he said he would do. He came out of the grave victorious over death, hell, Hades, over everything. He took the keys of Hades back.
Amen. Thank you.
We must watch out who we hang around with if we want to live the right kind of life. Paul warns that wrong people corrupt a person's morality. I know that's true. I used to run with a pretty bad crowd before I got saved. I had to change my environment. I had to get new friends. One that would build me up and help me down the path to Christ, instead of the ones that tore me down and lived immoral. I had to make that choice. If you're here today and you've not made that choice yet, you better make it, because those people that you call friends are not your friends. They're going to drag you to hell with them. The call for moral restraint and holy living is meaningless if there is no resurrection. Thank God there is a resurrection. And anyone and everyone who says there's not, that there wasn't, is wrong. There was a resurrection. Jesus came out of the grave. And so we know that the dead in Christ will rise when Jesus breaks through the eastern sky on a stallion. Don't make me ride my stallion this morning. Many are laughing because they've seen me do it. The message of Paul in this passage is that without the resurrection, baptism is meaningless, our sacrifices are meaningless, our moral restraint is meaningless. An old Indian chief heard the gospel message for the first time. He said, "The Jesus road is good, but I have followed the Indian road all of my life, and I will follow it to the end." 1 year later, he was close to death. And at this point, he said to the missionary who stood by his bed, "Can I take that Jesus road now? My road ends here." My road ends here. Have you taken the Jesus road? All other roads are dead end. They end at the grave. The way of Christ is the way of life. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Is there anyone here today? You know it's time. The Holy Spirit is prompting you. It's time to come to Christ. Is there anyone here today? And if that speaks to you, stand up and walk up here And I'll just agree with you in prayer. We're not going to do anything weird. We're not going to sign you up for anything. Merely invite you and pray with you to be in the kingdom. Is there anyone? I'm not going to badger this too long. We've got a lot to do yet here. Is there anyone? So, I trust everyone in this place this morning is a born-again believer in Christ. Is that true? That's cool if it is. If that's true, that's cool. And I also trust that every one of you is in a good walk with the Lord right now. Because, see, otherwise, it's time to repent. Because, see, the Spirit of God is here. He's moving me. See, it's time to get real with Jesus. Thank God, there is nothing greater than people turning to or back to Christ in Jesus' name. Nothing better than that. That's the greatest miracle you'll ever see, is a person getting born again. In my mind, that's a bigger miracle than even miraculous healing. It's when people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because that impacts all eternity. A healing here and now will only impact us for however long we live on this earth. But salvation impacts our whole eternity. Amen?